Good morning. Praise the Lord. This is cool. As you notice, I am not Pastor Mark. I look a lot different. Yeah. Pastor Mark and quite a few other people are at the Married Couples Retreat. And I got a call yesterday that they're doing amazing. So continue to pray for them because you know how important it is for couples, married people to go and just get reunited with the Lord and reunited with one another. So praise the Lord. Again, some of you guys may know me, may not know me. My name is Steve Jewell. I'm the youth pastor here. I've been at this church, going on 8 years. I started coming here before my son was born, and now he's 7-something. Don't remember. And I've been the youth pastor for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in April. And I'm very excited. Pastor Mark asked me to come teach for him. And, of course, you know, I get nervous up here because being up here is a trip. But praise the Lord. It's his power. Let's go ahead and pray and get into God's word. Father, again, Lord, we are excited to be here. We know, Lord, according to your word, it says if two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. And we take that by faith. We are looking to you, love, Lord, to experience your love. Lord, help us to immerse ourselves in you, Lord, as you pour out your spirit upon us to meet each of us where we're at. Lord, help us, Lord, if anyone in this room their love is drawing cold, Lord, or we just don't seem to have the walk that we think we should have or the walk that you want us to have, that we'd be encouraged, convicted, and strengthened this morning, but that you would meet each of us where we're at and where we need to be. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
All right. Cool. Second service is always more awake than first service. It's like, are you guys awake out there? Okay. I pop around a lot. I give you guys a lot of scriptures. If you guys ever heard me teach before in here, just the way I do it, because I love how scripture backs up scripture and all scripture is applicable. The title of my message this morning, it's a simple message of love. It's the importance of loving one another. As Christians, we are called to love one another, but we fail at it so miserably sometimes for whatever reasons. You know, the things of this world, trials, not spending enough time with the Lord, whatever it may be. But before we get there, and our main text will be in 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. So if you guys want to hold there, but I'm going to be popping around a little bit before we get there. So if you guys want to follow along, that's cool, but keep up. But I want to share Psalm 15. And the reason why the Lord really used this psalm and convicted me too, because a lot of times, as children of God, we start behaving like children of this world, children of the devil, so to speak. Because if we're not living for the Lord, we're living for somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In youth group, we just finished up 2 Samuel. How many here has ever read about the life of King David? Amazing, amazing story, amazing man. Did so good, but blew it so bad. Amen? It is very encouraging to me to see David's life because he was a man referred to after God's own heart, but he blew it in so many ways, and he committed, you know, a horrible sin by taking another man's wife and murdering him. But the Lord still loved him. The Lord still forgave him, and he knew his God, and he experienced his love. And this is David writing the psalm, and what's interesting is when we finished up the book, David's he's older in his age, and he blows it again. He takes the census. You guys remember that story? Again, he was putting his strength in numbers and not his relationship with God. And when we do that, what's happening? We're putting a barrier between us and him. But David was so easily convicted and so easily to repent. And that's our desire. Because, guys, we're going to blow it. You know, newsflash. We all fall short. But we don't stay there. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we respond to that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then we immediately repent. And David did that. That's what I love about David. We can really relate to this man. At least I do. But anyways, Psalm 15 is a psalm of David. And if you guys are going to read it with me, I'm reading from just this psalm, a modern translation. It is the New Living Translation. And it says right here in Psalm 15, it says, "Who may worship in the sanctuary of the Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to slander others or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise persistent sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who do not charge interest on money they lend and who refuse to accept bribes to testify against the innocent, such people will stand forever. Guys, those should be our characteristics. A lot of times, inside the church, we are not practicing these things. We find too much gossip, too much slander, non-reconciliation. Guys, we need to set the bar. We need to be that light to the outside world. And this talks about living a righteous life. In verse 1, it talks about we desire to live a life that is fitting for those who worship in God's presence. And we must speak the truth as sincerity and kindness. And also, we live righteously. If we live righteously, we'll never be shaken. But that righteous living needs to be backed up with God's love. How many here have ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Very famous. We all know it. We all struggle with that. You know, love never fails, you know, all this stuff. But in the beginning, and I'm going to paraphrase, it talks about you can do all these things, but if it's not backed up by God's love, it means what? It's like noisy noise. It's a clanging cymbal and a noisy gong. It means nothing. These two go hand in hand. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. We're going to start off basic and get a little bit deeper, and I hope the Lord will stir you guys up just a tad. Because I know preparing messages like this are very convicting. Then you're just like, I'm not even worthy being up here. But praise the Lord. And you guys will get used to my laugh. No worries. But, okay, so if you're already at 1 John chapter 3, you're in a good spot. Okay, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 23. And this is written by the Apostle John. Okay, this guy had his issues. And he was called one of the sons of thunder. So he had to learn this too. And the purpose of this book was there's a lot of false teachers at that time, the Gnostics, where, you know, they were slinging all kinds of garbage to stumble the Christians, to pull them away from their faith. And the purpose of this was to expose the false teaching and bring assurance of salvation to these believers so they would stay strong. And the first two chapters focuses on fellowship. Guys, it is so important that we fellowship with God. Okay? In youth group, I'm trying to ingrain this into their heads, to the importance on fellowship is a key to a consistent relationship. How many here struggle with consistency? We all have our moments. Amen? Okay, here's the key. Intimacy produces consistency. Amen? Intimacy with God. Having that one-on-one relation, that quality time with the Lord, each and every day, that solitude place you go and you just spend time with Him and just immerse yourself and meditate in His presence, that you will be consistent on what you were called to do. We're still going to fall short. We're going to have our difficulties and we're going to have our moments. But like David, we'll be quickly convicted and quick to repent. And that should be our focus. Then chapter 3, we see sonship, of being true children of God. Truly being a child of God, we must live in the same manner and have characteristics of Jesus, motivated by His love for us. That's pretty heavy, huh? Same characteristics of Jesus. Well, before we read, I'm kind of keeping you guys, you know, holding you guys there at 1 John. If you guys want to turn with me or just hold your spot at, can you guys hear me?
Okay, my mic's falling off. I had technical difficulties first service. It was over here and it kept going behind my shirt. New shirt, it's not working out. hold there, but I want to read some verses that are very heavy, but at the same time, it's some that we need to understand by being God's children, how we need to behave and how His love needs to transform us to be this way. Ephesians chapter 5, the first two verses. And this is written by the Apostle Paul.
I remember when I first read these verses, I'm like, oh man, Lord, help me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Be imitators of God. And if we're being imitators of God, guess what? We're walking in love. We're walking in His Spirit, just as His Son did, as He showed us in His ministry, and also that He died for us and He paid for our sins. As God came down as a man, humbled Himself, and paid the price for our sin. If that's not love, what else is? But guys, we are supposed to love in that same manner. And we'll get a little deeper into this. One more little nugget I want to throw at you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. As obedient children, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance before we were saved. Verse 15, but He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It seems like a lot to take hold of. Paul the Apostle knew about this, where he talked about, for one of the Corinthians, I forget which one, I always get it mixed up, where he talks about, I have not obtained this, because we are called to perfection, but we will not be perfected until the day we go home. But we strive for that perfection. We strive to be more like Christ, more Christ-like. And Paul knew that. He goes, not that I obtained, but I press forward to that upward call of Christ. That he talks about it as it's like a race. Okay, if you guys have been walking with the Lord, you know it's a race, and you have to have endurance. It's discipline and sacrifice. Amen? It's a workout sometimes. How many are workout? Put my hand down. Oh, you guys too, huh? Cool. But it's so important to understand what we're called to do, but it's motivated by His love for us. He first loved us. He died for us while we were still His enemy. So now, let's go. I know you guys have been waiting patiently. 1 John chapter 3. And this is the importance, the imperative of love, the importance of loving one another. And John learned this and understood this. And he's sharing to these Christians so they know that they know that they are children of God. How many here has ever questioned your salvation? Oh man. Is everyone being honest? Cool. I see more hands come up. Serious, it happens. But well, let me read this and then I'll get into my story. Doing this three times in a row is kind of a trip because you get things mixed up. Never taught the same message three times in a row. But anyways, let's read 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Excuse me. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this, verse 16, we know love because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because his commandments, because he keeps his commandments, and those who do these things are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us the commandment. So it's right here, it talks about the importance of love and also the outworking of love. John states that a true child of God will prove his spiritual birth by being obedient to God's word, and that's practicing righteousness. And righteousness is morally doing what is right, blameless. Obedient to God's word and loving one another the way Christ loves us. But a lot of times, things of this world get in the way. A lot of times, we try to do both. We try to live for the word and we try to live for God. We try to sit on that fence. and it's not happening. It doesn't work. Because sooner or later, you're going to fall in love with one or the other. Hopefully, you know, it's God gets your attention and you obedient and surrender to him. But a lot of times, Satan is very good at what he does. Amen? He entices. He holds that carrot, whatever that may be in your own life, to entice you to draw you over to the other side. And he's always going to be nipping at your heels. But I want to share you one of these little verses. It's a convicting verse. But it's one of those verses that needs to sharpen us. And it's in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to turn, it's just one verse. You guys can just hold tight and wait for me to come back. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about, you know, you cannot serve God and riches or two masters. It says, no, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon or money, or break it down any material thing in this world or the world. How many times do we find ourselves adapting to this world so much we start to fall in love with the things around us? You guys know that anything can become an idol? And I mean, I'm in youth group, man, and the things that these kids get themselves in that become their gods. And this one guy, he's actually teaching for me now. He's totally grown up in the Lord. He was so in love with cars. I mean, he could tell you everything about a car. He would memorize the magazines and not read his Bible. I'm like, dude, if you read your Bible as much as you memorize these magazines, you know how awesome your walk would be? And guess what? He's doing it now. Praise God. He's teaching for me today. That's awesome. But it comes so subtly sometimes. We don't even realize that we're replacing worldly things in our lives that's getting in the way of our relationship with God. And a lot of times, this world could suck the faith, the love right out of us. You know, we sung that song, Don't Let Our Love Grow Cold. You know, some of us in this room, maybe our love is drawn a little bit cold. I've been walking with the Lord for over 10 years, and I've been in ministry for quite a few. I forget. But I know in ministry, it is so easy to do the motions, do all these things, but not be motivated by God's love. But we need to understand where we're at, the warnings and the pitfalls, and make sure we stay this close with the Lord. Because guys, anything can get in there and it starts growing and growing and growing. And we find ourselves like this. We need to stay like this. And this is the way we need to do it. Let's go ahead and look at John chapter 15. So the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's preparing them for what lies ahead. You guys ever wonder about eternal security? Don't overthink it. Go to John chapter 15. It's so simple. You abide in him and he in you and you're good to go. Don't make it complicated. How many here make it complicated sometimes? Cool, honest people. We do these things. It's like, Lord, I was, Lord, why do you love me so much? And he goes, I do. Okay. It amazes me how faithful and how amazing he is. Even when we are being knuckleheads and we don't deserve his love. But in John chapter 15, starting in verse 9, he's talking to his disciples. He says right here, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you, abide in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed to you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, may he give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Guys, Jesus is love. God is love. This book that we should read more than we really do is a love story for us. It is so important that we understand where our walk's at. And the proof of that is our love for one another. And John was trying to get that into the heads of these Christians that were getting tripped up by these false teachers. How many here, I was a kid when this came out. It was an old commercial. You guys remember the whole Jell-O brand, Jell-O commercial? Bill Cosby was the representative. Everyone remember that? Okay, cool. I'm not alone on this. Okay, and he was saying that, you know what? Their pudding is the best. He goes, you know what? The proof is in the pudding. Guys, the proof of being a Christian is our love for one another. Amen? I said this to the kids and they thought I was lame. I shared that in the youth group once. I'm like, who's Bill Cosby? It's like, man, I feel old. Oh, there goes my mic. But it's so true. But if we abide in him, he in us. And if we do, then guess what? We'll start bearing fruit. And that is love. And then we'll have the characteristics that I shared in Psalm 15, backed up and motivated by his love. But a lot of times, especially if we've been going to church for a while, how many here has been going to church for over 5 years? 10. Okay, I'm going to keep going. First, sir, I got up to what? 25. Anyone 25? Wow. 50? Well, there's someone over there. Praise God. So you guys can relate to this. Walking for so long, sometimes we can get mechanical. We can start still doing the church thing, but it's not being motivated by God's love. And Jesus told us to a church. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. This talks about the loveless church. Revelation chapter 2, also written by the Apostle John, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who do evil, who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. He's giving them props. Good stuff, huh? But check this out. He goes, I have one thing against you. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Guys, has anyone in this room ever left their first love? It happens. We need today, people, do not leave this room until you get back with the Lord like this. Return to your first love, because that's the only way his love's going to manifest in you and through you, to love one another sincerely and not being hypocritical. And that comes to my next verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. I told you I'd pop around. Just get you guys schooled in your Bible. So Romans chapter 12. Verse 9. And a lot of times, guys, what happened with that church, they still had works, but they were not motivated by his love. Other motivations crept in. And we can find ourselves doing the same thing. And that's a warning, because that could become us. And a lot of times when we come to church, our love for one another becomes hypocritical. And the church needs to be that representative, first of all, that functional family, not that dysfunctional family, that we can get along and do things the way the Lord wants us to, then we can be that true witness to the outside world. Amen? We want people to know what we know. But if we are not loving, if we are being hypocritical, and we're being a bunch of little squirrely kids being disobedient, what kind of witness is that going to be? We need to raise the bar in our lives and submit our whole life over to him. Verse 9 in Romans chapter 12, it says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor giving preference to one another. That means, you know what? We need to think about others more than we think about ourselves. We need to stop being prideful and selfish, because that gets in the way of us truly, sincerely loving one another. A lot of times, We say we love one another when we don't, because we walk away and we start backbiting and gossiping. That's the way the world does it. We need to be set apart. We are sanctified. And if we struggle with this, guess who's faithful to meet us? The Lord. We got to truly give it over to Him. A lot of times we half give Him things, huh? It's like, oh, here, but we're holding on to it, at least a little part of it. We need to freely give everything over to Him. And that's when He's going to transform us by His love. And then His love will manifest in us and through us. And it won't be such a job. And His love will be flowing through us like the blood through our veins. And that's what we want. That's what we desire as children of God. For the love for fellow Christians is just as much as a characteristic of the new nature of believers as righteous living. Guys, it goes hand to hand, like I shared earlier. You can do all these right things, but if it's not motivated by love, it means nothing. It means nothing. It needs to be motivated by God's love for us, that He places His love in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. It goes hand in hand. Let's turn to John chapter 13. And this is Jesus speaking again. John chapter 13, speaking to Jesus' disciples, starting with verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Again, the proof is in the pudding, guys. People will know who we are by the love we show to one another. But I love it. Jesus is not going to call us to do something He has not exemplified to us. He says, "As I has loved you, love one another. As the Father has loved me, I has loved you, love one another." He shows us. And guys, right now, if you're lacking that, maybe you're lacking intimate time with Him. Because like I shared earlier, intimacy produces consistency. How many here desire to have that abundant life and that full walk? Then you need to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You need to pray and fellowship with one another. Sharpen each other. How many here has got a Christian friend that you just sharpen each other? Like, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. We need that. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to know that both love and righteousness are evidence of salvation. So I encourage anybody here that's maybe guessing or thinking about where they stand with the Lord, that this shows them where they need to be. Or maybe encourage some of you guys that maybe your love is growing a little bit cold and you need to that fire ignited, you know, that flame, some coals thrown in there, the wick put up just a little bit higher. How many here needs to spark a new fire, man? We all need it. It's like, Lord, consume me. Go ahead and turn back to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to go over the verses 16 through 23 again, because this is the outworking of love. You guys got to remember, this love that we're talking about, it's an action word, okay? Jesus showed it by showing it. He said it and He did it. He did it in His ministry. He always went to people that other people didn't like to hang out with, amen? He went to these dirty fishermen that became the pillars of the first church. He hung out, He went to prostitutes, tax collectors, people that the world despised. And He went out to them because he had a heart for them and they needed to know about His love. So let me get there. I'm not even there yet. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And this is the outworking of love. It's in action. And verse 16 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Guys, the sacrifice of Christ is both the proof of His love and the standard of our own love. And love shown not only in heroic deed or self-sacrifice, but in daily life of compassion. It's very important that it's not just lip service. It's actually doing it. My little children, verse 18, let us love in word Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Guys, it's knowing him and making him known. It's not all about us. We grow in him, it's knowing him, growing in our relationship with him, our intimate time with him, and then telling other people about him. And a lot of times, it's not by when we open our mouths, it's by our action. People see it, how we treat one another, especially we call them brothers and sisters in the Lord. But then all of a sudden, we find ourselves doing bad things to one another, or talking smack on one another. There's the youth pastor thing going on with me. That's how I talk to the kids. Like, what does that mean? Talking bad to one another. But a lot of times we find ourselves doing that, and we need to stop. Let's look right here in verse 18. I just want to reiterate a little bit where it says, my children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's look at James chapter 2 real quick, verses 15 through 16. This is really good stuff, guys. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what profit is it? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Guys, righteous living and love go hand in hand. As Christians, guys, we are called to love fellow Christians. But we also need to show love to the outside world, the non-believers. It's almost been about a year now, and August will be a year. We started out as a youth group, and I opened up to anybody who would like to come. We meet here two Fridays. It's not always a set time, so if you guys, you know, feel that you guys want to come with us, let me know. But we usually go two Fridays a month. We go street witnessing. First of all, we start off with the kids and young adults. Now it opened up to everybody, you know. And Dennis right here, he's come. Last time he came was the first time he ever street witnessed, and he's 49 years old, and he did it with us last week. And it's impacted his life, reaching out, giving people tracts, and sharing the gospel of Christ with them. You know what I'm saying? We all need to share the love of God. We went out last Friday. We meet at 6 o'clock in my office, and we shoot out to Huntington Beach Pier, and we pray, and then we go out and we share the gospel. And Ray, the guy who's teaching for me right now, had a couple of the older guys. Anthony was one of them. They were sharing the gospel to homeless people. And all of a sudden, he's sharing, and all of a sudden this homeless person comes up and gives him a big old hug. He tells the other kids, you let that homeless person hug you? You know, see how we stereotype people? It's like, I don't want to talk to them about kind of, ooh, icky, you know, Or they look funny, or they smell funny. It doesn't matter. And the guy said, and I'm probably getting this wrong, but Anthony told me a story. He goes, I can't believe that just happened. You know what I mean? And he didn't receive the Lord right there, as far as we know, but a major seed was planted. By stepping outside our comfort zone, our bubble, and sharing the gospel with other people that other people despise. Even other Christians that would just look at them and go, I don't want to talk to them. They'll go to someone that looks a little bit better. You know what? Sometimes the Lord has called you to minister to scary people. I know Pastor Mark shared that with you guys before. Sometimes people are scary. You know, some people say, I'm scary. I don't think so. But hey. Well, usually I have no hair, so I guess I look more intimidating. It's coming off after this. But guys, it's so important. Yes, we love one another, and that shows the example of God's love towards one another, or to the outside world, but we have to have the heart for the lost. How many has ever been to a concert or a sporting event? You know, in a big arena. Well, have you ever looked out in the crowd and imagined how many people are going to hell? You ever have that type of heart? It's the way Jesus looks at it. How many times you're sitting in a restaurant, and your waiter or your waitress comes up, and you don't share the gospel with them? Think about that. We need to show the love of Christ at any given time. It's so important. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And this is talking about, guys, we need to be the true witnesses that God wants us to be to lead people to Jesus. Again, it's all about the love, guys. Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. This is Jesus talking about how believers are the salt and the light. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown outside and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And this is an exhortation to us, guys. "Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." How many here that's been a Christian for a long time and sometimes you lose your saltiness? Man, we need to ask the Lord to spice us back up. Amen? We need to be effective tools of witnesses. We are the representative, the ambassadors of Christ. God doesn't have to, for some reason, wants to use us. Still baffles me sometimes. It's like, Lord, why am I even up here? You know, we feel so unworthy sometimes. But God may use you to touch and impact someone's life, and they will receive the gospel. Anyone has ever been used by God, because it's God, not us, but we're just the vessels, to lead anyone to the Lord. Amen. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's why we're here until the day we go home. I'll share a little story with you guys. About a month ago, some of you guys might have been here or seen it. My buddy Ray got married, and I was here early in the morning because I had to set up for the over 50s. And at the same time, his fiance had all the girls coming over here into the nursery to get their hair done. So I'm like directing traffic, you know, setting up chairs, and another kid came in to help me. Shame on you. No, just kidding. You know, I'm all busy for the Lord. You know, this talks about, you know, like the church in Ephesus, you know, in Revelation chapter 2. I'm so busy for the Lord, and I didn't have enough chairs, so I had to take some from the prayer room, and I'm going in there, and all of a sudden I hear the door open in the front lobby. I'm like, interesting. So I put the chairs, I'm like, well, let me see if, you know, maybe it was one of the people coming for the wedding. So I went in there, and all of a sudden I seen this little old man sitting in one of the chairs. I'm like, okay, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I gotta get done. See how our mentality gets sometimes? We're doing a good thing, it's noble, but it's tearing out, we need to slow down. And let me finish my story. Then I'm like, okay, oh, can I help you, sir? Then he goes, you know what? Yeah, I was just wondering the times of your services. I'm like, oh cool, I'm off the hook. I'll give him a bulletin, out the door. You know, and I was giving the bulletin, and the Lord kind of said, no. You need to ask if he needs prayer. Then he goes, no, ask him if he knows me. So I asked him, like, hey, can I pray for you about something? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, have you ever received the Lord? He goes, no. Do you want to? Just blurt it out. He goes, yeah. So I, praise God, that I stopped, responded to God's love for this man, and this guy received the Lord. Praise the Lord. But see how we get busy sometimes doing the Christian thing, and we're not really loving because we're caught up in the mechanicalisms of all this stuff? Sometimes we need to stop and slow down. And really respond to God's Holy Spirit when he opens up those divine appointments. Because that's amazing. That guy's going to heaven now. Not nothing. I was just being obedient. That's it. And that's what it is. We need to be obedient children. And guys, at work, at school, and in your homes, maybe that's the only light that they see. Are you shining bright? Or are you dim? Is your love growing cold? Do you need another dose of his love? And I pray this morning that he encourage you. I know this is kind of a convicting message. All you guys are so quiet. It's like, oh, man. But you know what? Here we go again. We need to hear this. I need to hear this. We need to be those true witnesses. We need to be that light representing his love to this outside world, that we would shine before all men, as the scripture says, that they would see our good works motivated by his love and bring glory to him, because that's what it's about. Let's turn, we're in Matthew chapter 5, let's just go over a little bit, in verses 43 through 48. This is a hard part. There's a lot of people struggle with this, even Christians. I know I struggle with this sometimes. And this is Jesus speaking once again. Matthew 5, verse 43 says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Who struggles with that? Amen. A lot of times you're showing God's love and taking that meekness for weakness, and people try to use you as a doormat. Anyone relate to that one? Yeah. So you just want to say, you know what? Forget this guy. I'm not going to even deal with him. But guess what? We are called as representatives of Christ to show his love sincerely, guys. A lot of times we water down his love and we say, but we don't really mean it in our hearts. We need to sincerely and compassionately and genuinely show his love. And this part right here, I mean, spitefully use you and persecute you. Man, 1 minute they love you, 1 minute they hate you because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. It's like, wow, Lord. And that's where we go, Lord, for wisdom. Because, I mean, this seems almost impossible at some times, but if we seek him, he gives us the wisdom and the power by his Spirit to do all these things he asks us to do. And verse 45 says, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same?" verse 47, "If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even tax collectors do so?" I bet tax collectors were really despised back then. "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Guys, we are only perfected by his love. That we are complete in his love. And we need to stay like that. Who do not love us. There's a story. Well, not a story. It's actually something. My dad is about 68 years old. He's been married for almost 19 years, and he's going through a divorce. Very sad. He's very devastated. Long story, not going to get into the details. He's done everything to reconcile. He's still in love with her. But unfortunately, she's not responding. She knows the Lord. She's walked with the Lord. So does my dad. So does every part of the family. Don't know what's going on. Looks like a lot of them are not being obedient to God. And we went to our first court date, and it's getting kind of ugly. And it was like a couple months ago. And this is the first time we've seen the other side. And you just walk in that courtroom, just the hate and the awkwardness. You know what I'm saying? You're like looking at each other. My brother and my sister, my dad's just devastated. He's just like pale, poor guy. And my sister and brother are like kind of like mad. And the other people are mad-dogging each other, like, "Rrr." You know what I'm saying? But I come in there, you know, and I was just praying. Because, again, this is my dad. You don't mess with my dad. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of get, you know, the whole protectiveness. But the Lord softened my heart, and I've been praying. As soon as I found out, I was devastated. I was at church. I got a phone call from my wife, and then my dad driving. All of a sudden, check this out. This is so sad. He moved out to Illinois to be closer to her family. And I'm not bashing on anybody. I'm just going to tell you guys a story. And he's sitting there. They're both watching TV. He gets a knock on the door, and all of a sudden, he opens the door, and they hand him divorce papers. He had no clue. No clue. There's a lot of family stuff going on and people prompting other people. But I was praying and praying and praying because, you know, you want to get bitter towards these people. It's like, But the Lord softened my heart. I'm like, I know it's going to be awkward to walk into the lobby of the courtroom waiting to go in. And the first thing I did, I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" I went and I hugged them. Brother and my sister looking at me like, "I can't believe you did that." I had to rebuke them later. But guys, God still loves them, and God wants them to repent and be reconciled with him and with one another. How are we going to do that if we're just being mad at each other the whole time and not letting the Lord use you to open that door? And what I did, it was not something, nothing special. I just thank God I responded to the Lord at that time, because sometimes I don't. We all blow at it sometimes. But this is what the Lord's called us to do. Romans chapter 12. And this scripture will bring to life, you know, kind of the story that I just told. If I can find Romans. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 17. And we struggle with this because our sinful nature, as soon as someone hurts us, we want to hurt them back. But Jesus says, and this is what his word says, this is in verse 17, it says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, if it much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. All means what? All. It means the ball's in our court. We need to do whatever it takes to reconcile and be peacemakers. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Excuse me, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if anyone is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's what, I didn't do it on purpose, but that's what happened. Because when I gave them the hug, they didn't like it. They're like, like, what's up, man? You know, but check this out. This is what we have to do. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Any given time, we need to overcome an evil situation with God's love. But guys, the ball's in our court. We don't have to do it. He's not going to make us do it. We need to be obedient. And the only way of doing that is what? Intimacy produces consistency, especially when a hairy situation. How many here has been in a crazy circumstance? It's like, well, I don't know what to do. And then you surrendered to the Lord and it worked out. Amen? How many here did the opposite and it just blew up in your face? Yeah. It happens. But guys, in closing, and I want to exhort you. My closings are a little long because I have two more scriptures to share with you guys. But guys, we need to be Christ-like. We need to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. Amen? We need to love like him. And to stay consistent, again, is to develop that time with him in our relationship. But at the same time, we got to love him and trust him with all of our heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I know most of you guys know these verses. These are these awesome, power-packed nuggets of scripture that we need to take hold of and memorize. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means everything. Don't hold anything back. We're going to have our moments in the days that we struggle, but each and every day we need to give God our best. And lean not on our own understanding. We all struggle with that one, amen? I think it should be done this way. You seek the Lord, he'll give you wisdom through his word, and he will speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will give you wisdom on how to love these people in these certain situations, in these certain circumstances. But we have to trust him, knowing that he's going to take care of it. Because a lot of times when we take it in our own hands, guess what? We're not trusting him. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. One more, then I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come up, and we're going to do a couple songs. Matthew 6:33. And I know almost all you guys know this one. We know it, we claim it, but a lot of us lack applying it. I think I did what I did last time. Did I tell you guys John 6 or Matthew? Praise God. I did it right this time. I took everyone the wrong place last time. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33. And this is the key, guys. Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything we need, we seek him first. He'll start lining everything up the way according to his will. It might not always think the way we think it should pan out or be, but I tell you, his ways are a lot better than ours. Amen? I want him to, in a sense, control my life. But you know what? He's given us a free will. Thank God for that, huh? Sometimes I wish he wouldn't. It's like, man, I mess up so much. I don't want this. It's too much responsibility. But thank God, because it wouldn't be love if he made us to, right? He wants us to freely love him back for what he's done for us. And that's how we have to love one another. I'm going to go ahead and pray, but I encourage and I exhort you and I challenge you guys. If you are not loving the way Christ wants you to, if you're not being that witness, then ask the Lord to help you to step it up and raise that bar. We need to be the church of this generation, to be the ambassadors and witness this world needs to bring more people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your love. Help us, Lord, to continue to abide in your love, that you would transform us, that we would love each other genuinely and sincerely, Lord. And in doing that, we'd be the example to the outside world, and people would see that, and it would be attractive to them, and they would receive you as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, I pray right now, if there's anything in our lives that is causing us to not to love or sucking the love right out of us, Lord, we would lay it at your feet right now. Lord, again, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That weights that are on us, that sin that so easily entices us, Lord, give us the power to withstand the temptation. Because as we fall into sin and we don't repent quickly, then it just puts a blockage of your love for one another. Lord, so help us, Lord. Continue to just enter into your presence on a daily basis. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, you are our strength. You are our fortress. Lord, we pray, we cry out to you, Lord. Help us to love the way you want us to love, Father. Lord, that we would immerse ourselves in you, that we would abide and stay in you, that your love would manifest in us and through us, Lord, and that we would be that light to this dark world that we live in, Lord, that more people would come into the knowledge of you. So, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to help us to be those obedient children, Lord, ready to do whatever you call us to do. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for you speaking to us by your Spirit, Lord. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Thank you.